Good morning. It is 8:33, and it's time now for a Community Connection, and it's brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home. Hi, I'm Tom Davis. We have City Councilor Paul Stewart. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Well, I tell you what, if it was any better, I'd be twins, but we don't want to show that on camera. It just wouldn't be good. We've got a lot of going on down here at the City Hall. Now, you're in Ward 2, but we're going to be talking about a lot of things in general today. First of all, we have this thing called a go bond or a general obligation bond. We were talking about prior to going on the air. First of all, tell folks what that is and what needs to be done about it.
Right. So a go bond is a general obligation bond that we can use for basically equipment, buildings, you know, kind of parks, those types of things. We can't use it for like ongoing operating expenses or anything like that.
So it's something that's going to come in handy, but it has to, every dollar has to have a name pretty much.
Right.
All righty. Now, another thing that we were kind of talking about is something that was hinted at by Mike Bailey here a couple of weeks ago, the city manager. Mm-hmm. He talked about a possible election for a capital improvement tax. And what goes into a capital improvement tax? This is another one of these things where every dollar has a destination, correct?
Right. So Bartlesville in 1990 passed the half-cent capital improvement tax, and it was actually they borrowed the money and they used the tax to pay off the loan.
Oh.
In 1999, we went to a pay-as-you-go system so that we weren't borrowing it. We were just, you know, as it came in, we could spend it on these projects. So they're looking at that's coming up for renewal at the same time the go bond is, so I think we're going to put them all on the same election.
Oh, okay. Now, when is this election about to take place?
Right now, they're looking at the spring. I think it'll be the date that they've talked about is April 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of the state gives us certain days we can have the elections. And so with a lot of the stuff that leads up to a lot of the legal requirements, that's kind of what fits best with our timeline.
Now, when we talk about even the specter of a tax increase, and I don't care where you live in the United States, people they give the old double take there. Okay, what's in it for me, and how much is it going to cost? What are we looking at?
Oh well, and so this one isn't an increase; it's just an extension of what we've already got.
Okay.
And so that one they've done. We could do that one for 5, 6, or 7 years.
Okay.
In the past, they did it for 7 years, which hasn't worked out because you're projecting how much money is going to come in sales tax 7 years from now.
That's almost impossible to do.
It's really hard to do. So this time, I think we're looking at going on the shorter end of that at 5 years, because the problem with going in the 7 years is you say, okay, these are all the things we're going to do, and then when you know if the sales tax don't come in like they're supposed to or like you're expecting, there's projects that just don't get done because we don't have the money, you know,
sure.
from that.
These both are going to be continuations?
Yes. Yeah. This will not be any tax increase.
Okay. Well, see, that clears it up right there. Because, you know, we're going to have a tax election. Okay. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You know, Oklahoma is rather unique. Other places where I've lived, the governing bodies just say, yeah, we're going to tax you. What do you want to do about it? Here in Oklahoma, you at least have a say about it here in your own backyard. And I think that's a pretty good thing. Some folks might think that that's all we do is have elections. But, you know, you're represented by yourself in this case. You have a say in it. And if it's something you want, you vote for. And if it's something you don't, you make your voice heard and say, no, I don't.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is that there's pros and cons to the short term and the long term, and something that's good for the long term is you're not coming back every 3 years or 4 years. You know, it's a longer time, but I think it's better to do it more frequently,
just to catch the changes.
Just to catch the changes, to be flexible, to you know, I think that it's better planning.
Yeah, it would seem to do that. Now, the last time you were here, we had a parking survey, and we just kind of glossed over the tip of the iceberg there, and then I think Micah Seamers and everybody else kind of crunched the numbers out a little further, but we gave everybody a pretty good thumbnail sketch. But from that survey, I understand that a recommendation has come about. What from that survey rolls into this recommendation?
Well, so 70% of the people said they were satisfied, so we didn't want to
change too much
because it's a lot easier to make those 70% unhappy than it is the 30% happy. One of the big comments, and we did get about 600 comments, mm-hmm. that people actually wrote in what they thought.
That's really pretty good.
And so we had talked about maybe having a community meeting, but we thought we're not really going to get a lot more out of that than we are these 600 comments. You know, true. I think it's just going to reflect the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we just decided to work with these. And one of the big things was the amount of traffic or the amount of a parking downtown.
Sure.
So one of the recommendations is where we have parallel parking and the street is wide enough to make that angled parking. And it would also be safe to have angled parking, too. So that'll add, you know, for every parallel spot, you can add about 2.5 angled spots.
And that is only really the cost of paint.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too, is we're going to be...
you have to measure first, but again...
Yeah. But because we're going to be resurfacing all the streets downtown mm-hmm. next year anyway, we're already going to have to repaint it. And so that's really not anything extra. It's just going to be adding extra spots.
Now, when I go downtown to frequent the restaurants and other places, you know, I find it's a very easy in, very easy out, mm-hmm. you know, for the places I'm going. However, during the middle of the day, well, I'm chained to my desk. I don't get a chance to go downtown too much. But I understand that was the part of the day, the heart of the mm-hmm. day, where workers were sometimes... You know, parking near the businesses and kind of being a little counterproductive. It's all for me, but not for thee.
Right.
And that was one of the gripes.
Well, and so something else that we looked at is there's some angled spots downtown that aren't in front of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Is making those longer than 2 hours, making those 4 hours, so that then maybe those workers that are going out and moving every 2 hours will just park a little bit, uh-huh. you know, park that extra block away, and then it can park for 4 hours there. And it also sure. gives... not just for the workers, but for people that want to go downtown and eat and shop and spend several hours down there, it gives them that opportunity too.
That's very good. So this is probably the most cost-effective thing that you got going on. On each block, you can get 2.5
yeah.
more slots, and basically all it is paint.
Yep,
paint and the cost of paying the painter to paint right. such. Lines, and it's not like you're reinventing the wheel.
Right. The other thing is that people wrote about where it was inconsistent sometimes, mm-hmm. and what they were talking about is there are some spots that are like 30 minutes from 8 to 10, and then they go to 2 hours after that. It's kind of cleaning that up, too, and making it, whatever the time limit is, that's going to be the time limit all day.
More uniform, less right. confusion. Oh, mm-hmm. I like that. Now, when is this going to be, this recommendation going to be put up for a discussion and then perhaps maybe a vote?
The earliest would be this next city council meeting in November. It might end up being after that as they're, you know, as they do the measurements and make sure mm-hmm. That they can really give the comprehensive plan of mm-hmm. what's going to happen or what they would like to.
Sure. Well, this is going to be interesting. Very interesting indeed. We've got a few other things coming up that the city does. And I will say that Bartlesville does a great job when it comes to quality of life, meaning that there's always something to do. Now, whenever we visit with folks who've been here a little bit longer than we have, mm-hmm. we're just amazed. We say, my goodness sakes, we're no bigger than this town is. There's always something going on. And we try to take advantage of just about everything that's going on so we can be a little bit more immersed in the community. And some of the oldsters were saying, well, you know, it kind of came along slowly but surely, but by golly, there is something going on. Everything from a ghost walk that's going on downtown for Halloween to trunk or treat over there at the Price Tower, but also we have the mausoleum stories.
Right.
Oh, scary. Oh, it's... Do you actually go into a mausoleum to hear the stories?
Yeah, it's at the...
oh, yikers, that's got to be good.
White Rose Cemetery, yes.
Well, how's this work?
Well, so it's going to be... It's just this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. If you're scared of the dark, you can do it on Sunday at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Tickets need to be bought ahead of time at the library, and they're, mm-hmm. they're $10 a person.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Yeah, right? we've got some... some people that that they would recognize from like our community theater that are going to be in there. And
so we have professional actors.
We have professional actors in there telling these stories, and I think a lot of them are, you know, about people that lived here in the 18 and early 1900s. Mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting.
Well, you get a history lesson out of it.
Right.
You know, if you can get over the creepy factor of, ooh, I'm in a mausoleum, you're going to learn a few things, too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think that kind of, hey, kind of keeps you alert.
Right.
And you are definitely going to learn. We were also talking a little bit something, getting back into, you know, wheels, man. Traffic. Are we looking at any kind of like traffic pattern changes or something like that? Because I know we're going to overlay the streets here.
Had a lot of, well, and I guess this also probably goes back to the GO bond. If there's anything you want on the GO bond, we have all of our citizen committees, and they make the recommendations as to what is going to be on the GO bond. So at our last street and traffic meeting, or the last several of them, we've had people, especially in downtown, and when I say downtown, I mean like basically between Adams and 20th and between Armstrong and Cherokee, kind of that area.
Okay.
Where you've got a lot of parallel streets that that go through, and people are using those as cut-throughs, and they're speeding when it's really the residential neighborhood. There's been a lot there, and then in some of our other neighborhoods too. And a lot of the times, the things people go to is we need speed bumps and stop signs. And those are two things we can use, but we've got probably 30 or 40 other things we could use. And so it's kind of researching a little bit of those. One of them that I thought was interesting is it's called a traffic kidney.
A traffic kidney. Okay. Okay, lay it on me. What is a traffic kidney?
Yeah, and you got to be careful when you're Googling this. You'll find out a lot about kidney trafficking, and that's completely different.
Oh,
yeah.
Wrong. So wrong.
So a speed kidney is what they do is they do three humps kind of parallel with traffic versus perpendicular like a speed bump, mm-hmm. and they've got a little bit of a curve to them, and so you've got one that you would drive over, and then one that's kind of a center in the center of the lane, and then one that the traffic going the other direction would drive over to. And like I said, there's a little bit of a curve to it, so you've got to maneuver it, but it doesn't slow down. Like emergency vehicles or fire trucks have to almost come to a complete stop to go over a speed bump. Yeah. And so it may work out for them. It's just something we're looking at. A few other things.
Don't do those roundabouts. Okay, we got one down by the high school. Works out pretty good, but you know, I lived in Florida, and we got a lot of seasoned citizens,
right.
and they get confused, and next thing you know, these little Q-tips are driving around in a circle, going, "Whoo, where do I get out?"
But
you don't want to do that.
At least they're driving around in a circle. So at that intersection where we have the traffic circle, we went there from about 8 wrecks a year. Uh-huh. Before they put it in, to now it's less than one wreck a year after. And the first wreck happened about a month after they put it in, and somebody missed their turn. And so instead of just driving around the circle and hitting it, they stopped to back up and go.
Ooh, forward only, forward only.
And that's something else, too, is, you know, we use speed bumps and stop signs, but and we've got the traffic circle, but they work, you know, where they're at, but that doesn't mean they're going to work everywhere. They're not appropriate for every situation.
No, you don't have that universal traffic calming device.
Right. There's nothing like that. Yeah. And so being that we're starting to look at, you know, a lot of these other things, and a lot of them are even cheaper. You know, one of them that somebody brought up was when people speed, they're typically, I go over 4 miles an hour, I go over 9 hours, or, you know, everybody has kind of their number when they speed. Yeah. Is that if you lower the speed limit, you know, where you've really got a problem from, let's say, 25 to 20, now those people that were driving, you know, 35 are now driving 30, you know, or the 29 are now driving 24.
Make it 15 and annoy everybody.
15, right.
And annoy the heck out of everybody. And nobody wants that. Here's the best thing to do. Follow the speed limit, folks.
Well, and I'm glad you said it, because, like, we do have our new traffic enforcement unit. And really,
I've seen them. They're everywhere.
Well, and that's kind of the goal, is that people see them and they're everywhere and they're moving around town. But we want to eventually to not have them. You know, we want people to just to not speed.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, after a ticket or two, they'll slow down. Yeah.
Oh, those hurt bad.
Because I think even I heard someone, they got a 27, you know, they were going 27 and a 25 in a school zone, and it was $185 ticket or something like that. So,
well, if you're going to speed in a school zone, you earned every penny of that ticket.
Yeah, that's really zero tolerance. And so that's enough to, to change your ways.
We're talking with City Councilor Paul Stewart. He's a Ward 2 representative. We got just a couple minutes left. You tell me that we're working on a new council handbook. What's this entail?
Well, so we've never had a council handbook.
Okay.
The Oklahoma Municipal League recommends that all of us have one. I think their kind of goal is to cut down on insurance payouts. You know, if your counselors know what they're doing, you're probably going to get sued a little less, and they're going to have less payouts. And so the council...
It's all about exposure, isn't
it? Right. And the handbook is good because... So every elected official is required to go to a training in Oklahoma within a year of getting elected.
Okay.
I actually went to it. It was after I got elected, but before I took office. And I was glad I did that because there's a lot of laws that you could break and not even realize it or mean to.
Yeah, I mean, something that makes total sense to you suddenly is, well, that's an infraction of, slash 43B subsection.
Right, and so the handbook could cover...
all of that.
A lot of those things that, that are important that would be easy to violate, and you could give it to them, right when they're elected versus them seeing it at a training a year later.
Yeah, that's a waste of everybody's time and energy. Well, if people want to get a hold of you, Paul, how can they do that?
The best way is email. Mm-hmm. That way I can forward their questions on to the appropriate people at the city.
Sure.
And it is Ward 2, WARD, the number 2, Council, COUNCIL, at cityofbartlesville.org.
Okay.
And all of the counselor's information is on the city website, phone numbers, emails, all of that. You can send me a Facebook message, and sometimes I get those and sometimes I don't, depending on if we're friends or not. So if you want to be my friend, send me a friend request, too.
Yeah, there you go. You'll be in the loop. Well, I tell you what, Paul, it's always great having you aboard, and I really appreciate you being on with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All righty, you've been listening to Community Connection right here on K1, and it's brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home.